So 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 15. It's only the sixth week and we're on to chapter 4. So, therefore, I love a chapter that starts with therefore, but we've already read the verse before, which is what the therefore is about. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Okay, you're there. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. This is the word of the Lord. And very good words it is, even though they're a bit tricky, some of them. I actually love this chapter. It's one of the first passages I ever heard preached on, and I've always remembered the line, "You have treasures in jars of clay," but I never understood anything else, because I was almost just about Christian, and I hadn't got a clue what it was about. So it is a difficult passage. Paul here is embarked in 2 Corinthians. We're doing 2 Corinthians because I believe that what Paul does here through this book is show the life of a disciple in all its glory and in all its disappointments and hardships. He doesn't make out it's easy to be a follower of Christ. He's written these letters, you know all this, and I'm not going to rehash any of it, but, you know, he's written all these letters and basically he's trying to refute some of the actual distortions that false teachers have brought into Corinth. And so it's very conversational because he's writing for an audience. He's not giving speeches. He's replying to things and what he's heard about them. And he's trying to get through to them the truth of the gospel, which is all we do today. And in doing so, he's actually saying, look, this is how hard it is. And I think that's why I like it, because anyone who says that being a Christian is an easy ride, this is not the case. It's glorious, but it's not easy. So Paul is, you know, really packing in truth after truth after truth, which is why certainly in these earlier chapters I split this so into such small chunks, because it's just so rich. And I hope you've been, you know, enjoying it so far. So at the end of chapter 3, he tried to show them the transcendent glory that can shine through each one of us. As the veil that separates us. Do you remember that this is coming from the veil in the temple? That when Jesus was on the cross, the veil in the temple that separated all the people and even the priests from the presence of God was torn from the top to the bottom. That's the veil. I'm quite sure you had that last week. So here we are in chapter 4, and he's saying, because we have these wonderful unveiled faces, we now are able to move on in boldness and perseverance and courage with honesty. I hope you feel like that this morning. Because this is a new covenant ministry. This is not the old covenant. Now we have unveiled faces. This is the new covenant. And that's, you know, why he doesn't lose heart. Because God's mercy to us is to bring us into his presence. He sent Jesus so that we could be with him, as we felt this morning in worship. And we don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't look at the circumstances and say that's what God is like. We know who God is like, and we don't look at the circumstances. We'll take our eyes off God, off Jesus. So we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And Paul here in verse 2 says, you know, we're not going to distort anything. We're not going to try and play tricks with any of you. We are not going to in any way give you anything other than the truth. He's going to preach openly with no shame, no hidden meanings, in the sight of God. He says at the end of verse 2, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, I'm absolutely on the level here. And they need to know that because they've been assailed by false teachers, as happened a lot in the early church. You know, Paul and his lot would say one thing and somebody else would come along and disagree, but cleverly disagree, because the enemy always counterfeits very subtly. So he's saying that he's setting forth the truth plainly. And so from verse 3 onwards, he's saying, you know, if you don't get it, then your understanding is blinded. You are veiled like those who are perishing. And who is doing that? He's saying it's the God of this age. Well, the God of this age is the devil. That we are in a spiritual battle, all of us, all the time. And that the devil is literally hiding the truth from you. Your eyes can't see. And I think, how true is that today? You know, you can give the gospel, the love of Jesus to people. You can tell them what it's about and they just don't get it. They just can't see it. Because for whatever reason, the God of this age is blind in their eyes. And some people switch off, some people argue. You know, it's a spiritual battle. But I think it's especially important to note that in verse 3 he talks about those who are perishing. That all those who don't receive the gospel. I have a very good friend who proudly announced they were an atheist the other day. And I cringed inside. And I said to God instantly, is this the time for the row? Because we've had several. And I just thought, no, let that go. And it saddens me. Because none of us want our friends, family, or anyone to perish. To go from this world and not being in the presence of God. Whatever hell looks like, but it won't be fun. It won't be fun. And to be without the presence of God is hell. So it's a spiritual battle. People are perishing. There is an imperative on all of us to just try and help people to understand Jesus. And I think, you know, the devil has done a fantastic job, hasn't he, in becoming a joke. The end of this month is what we now call Halloween. I mean, I hate it. I've often been in the States at this time, and it's ghastly over there. You know, the hotels put up all sorts of stuff in the lobbies, and it's just revolting. And, of course, it's the same over here now. And, you know, if we can poke fun at the devil, then, we minimize. But if you've ever seen anyone demon-possessed, it's so unpretty. It's hideous. People question, surely it can't be safe to be with God, don't they? God can't be loving. If God was loving, would he allow this? And that's a really difficult question, not one for today. But, you know, it's just the same as the devil in the form of a serpent said to Eve in the garden, did God really say? It's exactly the same as it's always been, to make you doubt God. So that's what Paul is saying. He's trying to show them they're giving them the real deal. You know, this is not a false advertising and heavy marketing that promises you everything and then you find out it's not real. This is the real deal, he's saying to them. And his boldness is what's enabling him to do this. And he's a great example to us, isn't he, don't you think? You know, they can't see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. Paul is saying, we're not doing it because we want to big ourselves up. We're doing it because we're doing it for God. We are servants for Jesus' sake. And I think that's a good way to remember that we are all servants of the gospel. And to go with that attitude. So, you know, verse 4, it just simply gives us the truth of what Paul is doing. And also in verse 4, in the Aramaic, the light of the gospel is translated as the flame of good news. The flame of good news. So they can't see the flame. Now, fire is an analogy all through of the Spirit of God. Okay? And still can be, I think, today. So he's telling them, Jesus is Lord. He's bringing them the flame of the good news. And light here, of course, is used both as a metaphor and also as a literal light. So he's equating the difference between light and darkness, literally, but also spiritual light. So we have this flame that gives us the good news. The light always has more power than the darkness. Darkness can never overcome light. That's a reference all the way through the Bible, isn't it? Right at the beginning, God said, let there be light. The original creation story, let there be light. And now Paul is using the same metaphor to show them this is now a new birth. This is the new covenant ministry. This is since, remember, he's talking to people who would know of the old covenant, and now this is the new covenant. And so you're born again into a new season in Jesus. And also when we have light, we have revelation, don't we? We often ask for discernment. We ask for God to show us the way to go. We're doing that just now. Where are you, Lord? What do you think? What's your take on this? How should we be praying? You know, we need discernment. We need revelation. We need understanding and knowledge. And I don't know about you, but there's a number of moments in my life I can think about. You may be able to think of some where you kind of go, oh, I get it. This is what's really going on. Or some bit of truth in the Bible, you read a verse and suddenly it hits you. And you just go, oh, got that. Even though you may have read it 10 times before. So, you know, this is what he's on about. So go down to verse 7. And one thing to notice is actually verses 7 to 10 is all one sentence in the Greek. You know, I think we thought at the beginning of the 20th century we had, you know, people like James Joyce and then onwards Sartre, etc., who did what we call stream of consciousness, who wrote these enormously long sentences. I think one of Joyce's books is actually all one sentence, which is why nobody can read it. It's so difficult. But here, verses 7 to 10 are all one sentence. And if I tried to read it without a gap, it would be very hard to follow. So we've obviously been allowed to have gaps. So treasure is hidden in jars of clay. So we might look a bit boring and unexciting on the outside. Yes, this is a very obvious thing, isn't it? I don't need to explain what he means here. You know, if you have, and we have a number of those, you know, orangey pots in the garden. I'm sure everyone's got them. And we have some beautiful geraniums in them, even now. So it's like the outside pot is dull, but the geraniums, the flowers, the treasure inside is just beautiful. And he's saying, we have treasures in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So in other words, he's saying, I look really dull and boring and maybe unattractive, who knows, because we don't want you to look at us and start to worship us. We want you to see that everything we have is coming from God. Does that make sense? Yeah? So he's saying we are earthen vessels. And when we die, we leave our bodies behind, don't we? The body stays behind, but we go on. And he's saying our bodies, our minds, our abilities are actually weak and fragile. And overall they are. They really are. And I think, you know, today we do worship the outside, don't we? More so than ever with the advent of the dreaded word social media. We do. We worship the outside. The world has got very visual. People don't listen to other people. It's all visual. Instagram, etc. We're just worshiping, and we're, people even take pictures of what they've just eaten. You know, I do think somebody takes a picture of the meal they've just eaten in a restaurant and sends that picture to all their friends, and I'm like, really? Honestly? But apparently lots of people do this.
Especially boys.
That's interesting. Well, that is interesting. Yeah. And of course, pictures of babies and pictures of cats. Cats, I understand, are the most sought after. But, you know, also the whole thing about what you look like, you know, and for men as well as women now, but especially for young women, what you're presenting to the world is everything. Doesn't matter what you like inside, so long as people like the look of you. And you can apparently now doctor your picture or Photoshop it, I have the lingo, to make you look marvelous. I'm sorry that wasn't around when I was younger. I'm sure I'd have bought into that, you know. So you see pictures of people and it's nothing like what they're actually like because they've changed it all. But it's out there on the internet as this is who I am. So we've got into even more so an insidious. See, all of these things, you have to look at the spiritual truths underneath. Insidious level of the enemy working to make us believe that what we're like on the outside is everything. But Paul is saying no. I think there's also a reference here to the fact that we carry this flame inside us, this light inside us. And that, if you remember, Gideon had a bit of a thing with the Midianites. And he had 32,000 men to go and fight because God had told him he had to lead the Midianites into battle and, you know, do it for God. And so he had 32,000 men and God whittled them down to 300. And then they had to go and do these ludicrous things where they made a lot of noise and they crashed open their flames inside glass jars. And so, if you like, the flame that was inside have the power, and all the Midianites ran away, as they always did in these battles in the Old Testament. They ran away. They didn't have to fight them, because it was almost like when that flame that's inside that glass jar, it's the same analogy as Paul is doing here, was released, so the power of God was, if you like, spread abroad. I just went Shakespearean again. It was spread abroad. What news on the Rialto? And it's that same analogy here, isn't it? That the glass jar, our earthly bodies, our clay pot, carries in it the power of God that's enough to frighten an army and have them all run away. That's what you've got in you. You don't have to feel it all the time. Otherwise, you might get a bit overbearing. But that's what's there. And, you know, this is a... really this, you have treasures in jars of clay, is the essence of 2 Corinthians. And it comes up again big time in chapter 12, and we will, of course, do that. When I am weak, then I am strong, he says there. And then in verses 8 and 9, I am going through this simply because it's hard. Verses 8 and 9, it gets really quite fun, doesn't it? We have this lovely list, because he's having a really hard time. You know, he says, we're hard-pressed, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, we're struck down, but heck, we're okay, we're not destroyed, because we're carrying around in our body the crucified Jesus, who also is the resurrected Jesus. So though we've gone through death, we're going straight into life. And in order to really bring that resurrection, you have to go through the spiritual death that brings the light forward. That's what he's saying. So he says in verse 10 and 11, it's death in us, but life in you. We're struggling so that you can have life. Yeah? And sometimes that is what the Christian life is all about, isn't it? We give of ourselves to a level that actually is hard, and we struggle in order that others may have that life. And actually, that's the way that the world should, if the world ran on that, I think we'd all do much better. So it's all for Jesus' sake, and he's saying the more human frailties you have, the more God's strength and power can show through you. Now, we don't like that, do we? Because we want to be strong. We want to be strong. But if you were in Japan, you would know of this, kintsugi. There's actually a Christian ministry over here now called kintsugi. So, Keith, if you could shove those up, please. So, kintsugi is a wonderful thing. Kintsugi. So, you see, there you have a pot, and it's been broken. But it's been repaired with a golden thread. Have you all heard of this or not? Is this new to you? Some of you have heard of it. Can we see the next one? We've got three lovely pictures. There's another one. See, the golden thread has been used to literally, if you like, weld or bind the jar back together. And in Japanese culture, that jar is now considered much, much more valuable than it's the original, because it's been repaired with this golden thread, and they regard that as much more beautiful and valuable than the original. And there's another one, isn't there? Thank you. Wonderful examples. Thank you. And you see, we are, if you like, living kintsugis. Kintsugi. I should say it sort of Japanese. Kintsugi actually could be translated as golden joinery. So there's no attempt to hide the damage. There's no attempt to try and make it look as good as new. It is now a reconstituted pot, but is now considered more valuable in their culture. And I think that's a fantastic way of actually explaining what Paul is saying, because he's saying we should all be, you know, these broken jars, shouldn't we? Yeah? And it's exactly the same in the kingdom of God. Exactly the same. When we show our vulnerability, when we've walked through difficult experiences, when we can speak into other people's lives with the empathy of somebody who knows what they're talking about because you've walked through it yourself and come out the other side, that has a power that's extraordinary. Which is why often people go through a really difficult time and then God raises them up to minister into that field, whatever it is. Yeah, to other people, because they've come through it and they know. It's the same principle as kintsugi. And it's that vulnerability that lets the gospel through. It's a testimony of God's goodness and faithfulness to us through life. So I've spent the last 2 months like this, because at the beginning of July, 3 months ago, I tore my other ligament. Well, you have four actually there, but I tore one. And so I have a brace on my knee right now still, which is really good. And I've been walking around with a stick. And obviously there are many, many people with much more visible physical difficulties than this. But this has really made me think through how people perceive me and also how I perceive myself. You know, to actually see the brokenness in me And so to not want to hide the fact that I'm currently needing a stick. I won't need it for much longer, maybe a few more weeks. But it's really, I've become a kintsugi example. Because you can see my problems on the outside. And there are many examples of that, obviously, that we can think of. And so that's what Paul's doing. He's saying, you know, I've been through all this stuff. We've been abandoned. We're not abandoned. We've been persecuted, but it's all okay. Everything is okay because Jesus is the truth and Jesus is in him and is with him. And that's the same for us today, isn't it? And that is his testimony. From verse 13 onwards, he gives his testimony because the spirit of faith causes him to speak out. It's that faith and knowing that God is with him, that God is faithful, that God will come through, that says, I've believed, therefore I have spoken. And so we have that same spirit of faith. He's quoting the Psalms. They're always the Psalms, usually, these quotes. We also believe and therefore speak, because we know. You see, there's the crutch. We know. We've lived through this. We're not talking airy-fairy theory here. We're talking absolutely direct, lived experience. We know that Lord Jesus, who was raised from the dead, will be with you as well. Yeah, it's a statement of faith. And so all of this, the whole of this passage, the whole of this book, gives us an incredible clarity in the life of a disciple. Paul the Apostle, what it was like then, but what it's like for us now. You know, he's sent out for the glory of God. He's got power in his weakness. He's given the strength to persevere. Fear of death and martyrdom is always with him, always. And yet, all he wants to do is tell everyone about Jesus. And there are many examples of people who've been just like that in our more recent times. Many. And maybe one day they'll talk about us. Who knows? We may leave a legacy of exactly the same as Paul does to those we've ministered to or met in our lives. Only God knows. But Paul ultimately said, he ends up by saying at the end of verse 15 that he always gives thanks. You see there? The grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Everything is for the glory of God, but we always give thanks in whatever's going on. And that can often be very hard and very sacrificial to give thanks when we're having a really difficult time. But he says, nothing in this world compares to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Which is the end of verse 6. And he's saying, we have this treasure, so what is the treasure? Well, Jesus ultimately is the treasure. As we know, the answer is always Jesus. But it's the light of Jesus in us. It's that flame. It's like those glass jars with the scared the Midianites. It's that flame burning within us that is the treasure. The light of Jesus. And if we can get a hang of the fact that it's just not just about us, that we carry something eternal in us, that eternal flame, then we can be transformed, because then we're not just thinking, it's just me. Who am I? I'm nobody. You know? And we all do that. Yeah? Just look at this description of Jesus. If we could have John verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This is Jesus we're talking about. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That light that filled Jesus is in you. That is the treasure. So you have treasure. You are treasure. And what you carry may not be, you don't need to see it yourself or even be aware of it. We just need to get it out there. to know that we, like Paul, can go through terribly difficult times, but still be speaking of the goodness of Jesus and the truth of Jesus and why he came. So on the outside, we may look a little bit kintsugi. So I staggered around going literally at the speed of, you know, because if I walked any faster, it hurt. You know, I was like so pathetic. But that was my outside. My inside was okay, because my inside is filled with the Spirit of God. And it's seeing ourselves like that. And these things happen as you get older, especially if your knees are giving way. Inside is the treasure. You, all of you, have treasure inside. And I just think all I ever really try and talk about is that fact. Just why I like this passage, because it kind of sums up everything I say, really. Is we just don't know how valuable we are in the kingdom of God. We just don't. So let's not hide our treasure. Let's shine with unveiled faces. And let's remember something that's really, really important. You know, the beginning of this year, Jenny went through a really, really hard time. And so actually, so did I. And it probably took me till August to really get over that. But there was this one verse that I remember. It came into my mind the morning she was off into hospital, and it just kept going round and round and round and round. Can you put it up, please, Keith? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, this is the King James, which strengthens me. Right? I like the passage in the Passion, the way this verse comes up in the Passion translation. I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. That's good, isn't it? But I just kept saying, it just went round and round, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this because I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. That's the only verse I kept saying, really. And all of us need a few of those verses for moments of real difficulty and trauma to sustain us. It'd be good if you can just try and memorize a few simple verses. Verses that speak to you, that will speak to your heart when the chips are down. Yeah? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's the truth. We can. We don't think we can, but we can. So let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you. We thank you that these truths that Paul says in this passage are the same today. We thank you that he has given us an absolutely wonderful exposition of the truth of the gospel, that in Jesus we have the flame, the light of life. Lord, we pray that you will help us to understand this and to live from that place, not worrying about our outsides, but knowing that on the inside we are filled with the light of the glory of God. We commit ourselves to you, Lord, to be your servants as Paul says he is. We thank you, Lord, that we can read these passages and, yes, struggle to understand the depths of the truth, but Lord, we pray that you will walk with us every day in a new and deeper way. That we will not see ourselves through the world's eyes, but we will see ourselves through your eyes. And we just commit ourselves to you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.